In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I have some good news and some bad news. The bad news is I'm going to talk to you again. Good news is this is the last one. I've been trying to convince Satan to take at least one of these lectures because I love you all and I feel for you. So, sorry. We're talking about taking the cross, aren't we? Bearing the cross. Well, you've got yours well and truly this time. Okay. I thought what I'd do with this being the final lecture in the series is just to do a bit of a wrap-up of everything that we've covered so far and talk about what it means then to come back to God. Now, if we take snippets, bits and pieces, out of what we have covered so far, we realize that the first obstacle to our relationship with God is the fact that we are sometimes too busy. We busy ourselves with lots of things. We busy ourselves with our lives, starting as we did from the most credible things, like career, like service, and going down to the most basic and immoral of things like vices and immorality and staying away from God. All of these things that distance us and keep us away. And I think what we realized is that sometimes we are distant without even knowing it. We just get sucked away. We become so busy in our lives that it only takes one step a day. Only one step a day, and we end up so far away at the end of it. And the way this usually works is that it's only very small things. Now, speaking of those small foxes, those little things that come up, like, I don't have time to pray today, so I'll just leave it today and I'll pray tomorrow. Or I just don't have time to open my Bible today, I'll do it tomorrow. Or I don't have time to spend with God today, so I'll do it tomorrow. Or, well, you know, I really do like being a good person and serving others and expressing my love for others and God's love for others through my work, but not today. And we find little things, and they're all very justifiable. I have a work deadline, I have a study deadline, I have an examination, I have a job interview, I have a family commitment, I have a social commitment, I'm unwell, I'm very stressed, I need time to myself, and that time to myself is wonderful. But usually it's time that I spend as far away from God as possible, because I think time to myself means letting my hair down and just not being focused or fixed, not being in any way committed to anything. And we find that that takes us away from God. And we find that this busy lifetime of ours, which is considerably short, becomes our focus, and we lose any interest or any intention or any desire or any even thought of thinking about the life to come. We're all busy. Everyone's busy. You're busy. I'm busy. Everybody's busy. But there must be times where we make priorities. And that priority in my life depends on what I think is important. We will make priorities for people sometimes, for our work, for our studies, even for our service, for various things. But what we need to realize is God also needs to be part of that priority list. Hopefully, at the top, sometimes somewhere near the top, usually way down the list. And this is where we start losing things. When I start to become busy and I start to become distant and I start to become withdrawn, I become alienated from God. I lose the relationship a little bit. Not that He's left me, but I've left Him. I've walked away. I'm busy. School, work, family. I'm busy, God. Please, I know You're a loving God. I know You're a merciful God. I know You'll always be there for me. And please just take a seat, just in that corner. And I will come to You when I'm ready. Imagine God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the creator of all, our Father, who took flesh, who came down to earth, who died for us, who suffered for us, is placed in a corner, just waiting for when we're free. Take a number. And when we start to lose that link, we get into more serious problems. We start to lose focus and understanding and realization and even recognition of God's will. I'm distant from God. I have, for all intents and purposes, minimized, if not completely cut out, any kind of communication. And so therefore, I don't know how to hear His voice anymore. I don't know how to recognize Him anymore. I don't know whether He's there or not. Or even if I do know He's there, what does He want me to do? And we forget that verse that we came across in the first epistle to St. Timothy, that God is good. We forget that He's good. And because we're distant, we start to not realize His goodness. Why? Because our eyes are covered. We don't see His goodness. If we just looked, if we looked around us, at the people around us, the nature around us, the world around us, our own lives, how much He's given us, we'd realize that He is good. And because this happens, we don't live what we read in Psalm 34:8. We do not taste, we do not see that the Lord is good, and we are not blessed because we are not the man or woman who trusts Him. Because we're away. We start to lose focus. We look and we may be able to see something at a distance, but it's blurry. And that blur sometimes even fades away. We forget why He is our Father. We forget what He has done for us. We forget why, initially, all of this happened. We forget why the incarnation. We forget why the crucifixion, the resurrection. We forget what is written in the Gospel of St. John. Chapter 6, verses 38 to 40. Where our Lord tells us that He has not come down to do His own will, but the will of the Father. And what is the will of the Father? That everyone who sees the Son and believes in Him may have everlasting life. And He will raise Him up on the last day. That is the will of God. That is the will that we start not to be able to see. Because we've become so distant and busy and occupied and important. Sometimes we become too important even for God. Which is quite ironic because we, the mere mortals who we are, were important enough to him that he may leave everything, his kingdom, his glory, his throne, and come down for us. But we're too busy, occupied, losing focus, not seeing him. But still he tries. And through his sacraments that he leaves for us, he still tries to engage. He still tries to come into our lives. He still tries to show us. And he does that through the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, who comes, who will guide, us all into truth, who will not speak of his own authority, but he speaks as God, coming into our lives and trying to enlighten us. Okay, you've become busy, you've become distant. I know you're going to do that because I created you. I am your Father. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come and dwell within you. And I'm going to keep reminding you. I'm going to say, remember what I said to you? Remember what I said to the disciples? Remember what I promised you? Remember what I've done so far? I don't change. And it's only through starting to be moved by the Holy Spirit within us, and by listening to him, and by looking at God's love, and by looking at God's goodness, that we start to realize a little bit more what his will is. But even once we see what his will is, we've got to be willing to submit that will. We discussed the example of Jonah, who had no problem hearing God's voice. He heard very well. God communicated directly with him. Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he went in the other direction. There was no problem of communication there. There was no problem of hearing. There was no problem of knowing. And how many times have we fallen into that trap? Where we hear, but we don't want to. Because it doesn't fit into our busy life and busy schedule and important priorities. And you know what happens when we start to distance ourselves from God and we start to lose communication and we start to be confused as to what his will is? Because the actual matter is that we are his image and likeness. He created us. We are spirit as well. And so therefore we yearn for more important things than are in this world. Quite often we will put those aside and flatten them. But the yearning is still there. And then we start to live this conflict, this stress. As we read together the Oxford Dictionary definition, is a state of mental or emotional strain or tension resulting from adverse or demanding circumstances. What could be demanding, more demanding, than not knowing what the rest of your life holds? What could be more adverse than being distant and isolated from our Heavenly Father? And because of this, this tension, this stress comes down well and truly on our own heads. No support structure around us. No one to carry that load with us. And we have to face all of these things. These expectations we have of people, those who are close and those who are far. These expectations we have of God. The expectations that people and God and family and I even have of myself. And I have to face these all alone. Why? Because I'm too busy, because I've come isolated, because I've lost communication. And because now I have to face all of this completely. And I forget because of all this. I forget the words of our Lord that should give us absolute confidence in what he's saying. Come to me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we labor all day long, and we are heavy laden all day long, but we stay alone, isolated, and we take all the stress on our own shoulders, and sometimes we find it very, very difficult to bear. Our Lord quite simply says, please just return to me and I'll return to you. I'm only at a distance because you've distanced yourself. I'm not going to impose. Return to me and I'll return to you. I'll be there. And then he says something which is very important also. In St. Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, when we take these words to ourselves, these words that are reassuring, the words of a father to his children, of a teacher to his disciples, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, how reassuring are these words from St. Paul? Do we expect any less from God? Do we expect any less love or care? Do we expect any less consideration, concern? And it keeps going. And we keep sliding because the pressure and the tension build up and the stress builds up. And I'm carrying it alone, and I don't know what to do, and I don't know where to go with it. And I make mistakes, and I fall, and I sin. And suddenly, I don't just have to deal with what I'm doing now, but throughout my whole life, I deal with everything. I deal with things I've done in the past that I wish I had never done. I wish I had just never committed them. And I am so sorry for having done them. Because they leave such a memory. They leave such a feeling. And I can't get rid of them. And I try every day. But Satan has just such a stranglehold on me that he keeps these as an obstacle in my way. I hold on to the taste of sin itself, because at the beginning it's sweet. I hold on to the memory. I hold on to the guilt. The guilt that I just can't get rid of. And it becomes crippling. I'm no longer able to do anything. It becomes something that overpowers me. And I am unable to move ahead because I have this huge ball and chain that I can't drag forward because I can't move ahead. And all of this because I've distanced myself from him. Can you see the obstacles getting bigger and bigger? The obstacles getting sometimes uncombatible. But then I turn to God and say, God, what is the solution? What is the solution to all this? The solution, my beloved child, is quite simple. Return to me. Come into my hands. And I will be able to help you. Come into the realm, into the area where I can support you. Come where I can give you a new heart and a new spirit. Come where I can take that stony, rigid, lifeless, sinful, petrified heart out of you and give you back that heart of flesh that feels and yearns for me and loves me. So that it's not just me wanting to be with you, because I always want to be with you, but you sometimes wanting to be with me. I can give you that heart. Just return to me. And once I give you that heart, you will follow my judgments. You will follow my precepts. You will follow my statutes. You will keep them all. Because once again, it is I who am the life source from this heart of flesh that pumps through your veins, that becomes your essence once more. Not this person that I see now, who is lost in the world, yes, busy, yes, running around, yes, occupied, but this person who I see running around in the world, being beaten left and right, walking into walls because you can't see, being confused because you have no direction, stumbling because you live in darkness, and I am your light. I am your life. I am your hope. Return to me. Return to me, and I can give you all of these things. But don't return to me partially, because that's not good enough. I want you to return to me fully. I want you to be completely in my grasp. I want you to be completely in my hands. I want you to be completely within my protection. I want to be able to look after you. I want to be able to pamper you. I want to be able to give you everything you need. Not just physically, because physically is only a period of time that goes away. I want to give you what you need spiritually. I want to give you what that heart of flesh needs. I want to give you reassurance. I want to remind you of my goodness. I want you to see me. Because once you see me, and once you see that light, you will know that I am your Father. And you will know that this is where you belong. I don't want you to be patchworked. I don't want you to be a new garment with an old patch. I don't want your life to be new wine in an old wineskin. I want you to be completely new. I want you to be a new creation in me. I want to be able to take away that old man and help you to put on the new man. I want to be your cloak of righteousness, who embraces you, who covers all your iniquities, who allows you to overcome all your weaknesses, because you are my child. I want all things to become new for you. Not just some things, but all things. I want everything to be new in your life. Your heart, your spirit, your mind that is transformed. Your eyes that are fixed on me. I want all these things to change. I want you to be a new man, a new woman. Not just visibly, externally. I want you to become new because of the knowledge that you now have. The knowledge that I am good. The knowledge that I do love you. The knowledge that I do want you. I want you to become a new creation in me. In me. Because I can do all things for you. I want to be able to save you. save you from the wilderness in which you live. I want to be able to take you away from the pain that you experience. I want to be able to save you from the loneliness. This world that I see you in, and I see you running around so much in, and I see you doing so much in, and I see you achieving so much in, still doesn't satisfy you. Because there is a big hole in you that is not filled. That hole that can only be filled by me. Because I am your Father and I know you. I created you. I know what is within you. I know what makes you happy. Not just temporarily happy, because things in the world can make you temporarily happy. I know what makes you really happy. I know what gives you real joy. I know what gives you real confidence, real satisfaction. I am your Father. You see, ladies and gentlemen, although God knows us very well, we don't seem to know ourselves. And sometimes we don't know ourselves at all. We do some very strange things. We sometimes know how beautiful and satisfying it is to be with God, yet we will knowingly stay away from Him. We will not make an effort. We will not go towards Him. We are nothing without Him. We are His children. The life in us is His breath. Without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we are a shell. A shell that with time breaks down. A shell that with time can no longer function. Do we just want to walk around being skeletons, being shells, being empty, not having a feeling of fullness? These years in your lives, in particular, can be some of the most lonely that you will ever live. Because you are out there in the world, and in that world, you have one of two, possibly three options. One, you get completely engaged into it. You live it to the max. You do everything you want. You are temporarily happy. But then sometimes you're very empty because there's still that big hole that's missing. Second option is you leave it all behind. You try to do what is right. Always. Staying away from all those things that are vices. All those things that you may do today or tomorrow that will then become your yesterday that you can't leave behind. Some of the best medication is preventative. Don't put yourself in a situation where you have to start dealing with side effects. These years, these college years, are years where everything you believe, everything you are, is going to be challenged. Your faith is going to be challenged. Your morals are going to be challenged. Your ethics are going to be challenged. Your values are going to be challenged. Everything is going to be challenged. You either fall with all your force straight into this, and you become just another person in the world who is temporarily satisfied. Or you do the right thing all the time, and you feel completely isolated and alone. Or, and this may be the third option, is that you neither go into the world and get completely absorbed by it, nor do you take a corner and be a frightened soul avoiding things. The third and best option is that you fill that void with something else. That void can only be filled by Christ. That void that can only be filled by God in our lives. We are not just physical beings, we are physical and spiritual beings. And we need so much more. We need more than just what satisfies the body, what satisfies the ego. We need what satisfies the spirit as well. Don't leave yourselves to get lost in this world. You are in the world, but you are not of it. You are children of light, living in a world that is full of darkness. And this challenges you. And sometimes overcomes you. But the light in you cannot be put out unless you put it out. Because the light in you is the light of God. And no one and nothing has power or authority over God. Only we can undermine God's authority. Because He loves us. Because He loves us and He respects us. We want to be like Mary. Mary who didn't just run around and do things and get busy, but Mary who sat at the feet of our Lord and learned and absorbed. We don't belong in this world. We are strangers in this world. We are travelers. We're in that motorhome, that caravan, that we know is only going to be there for a while, but then it's going to take us to that wonderful palatial destination where we live in all the luxury that our Father has created and prepared for us. It's sad sometimes we lose so much focus. Because we live as sad people. This world is very challenging, very demanding. And alone, we have an incredible amount of difficulty keeping up with it. But with God, and in God, and through God, we can overcome all things. He has given us the authority to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and all powers of the enemy with Him. And you think, okay, we've heard all this. We've heard that He gives us power, He gives us strength, He gives us authority, He gives us comfort, He gives us peace, He gives us hearts of flesh, He gives us reassurance, He gives us life, He gives us light. So why aren't we with Him? Does anyone have any plausible answer to that? Why do we keep making the same mistake? Why do we want to live in isolation? Why do we want to live in exile? Self-imposed exile. Why do we not want to be with Him? Why do we think that the busyness of this world and the commotion of this world and the fame of this world and the riches of this world, why do we think that that's ever going to overcome anything or fill us in any significant way? We've tried time and time before. The world is fickle. The world changes. The world gives you with one hand and takes with the other. The world gives you for a while and takes away. I remember a person who always used to tell me something, and it's never really made sense much except recently. He told me that this is, he used to talk to me about, you know, the importance of modest living. And he would say that one of the greatest ways of manipulation and of torture, more or less, that some secret services would do was if they really, really wanted to put someone under their thumb, if they really wanted to break someone, what they would do was they would give them immense riches. Everything they wanted, everything they desired. Homes, cars, importance, social standing, fame, everything. They would pour this on them. And pour it on, and pour it on. And let them really, really get entangled in it, and live the good life, and live in the public eye, and be famous, and then suddenly pull it all away. Pull it all just right away. If you always live in poverty, you'd never know any better. But you live in extreme riches and wealth, and suddenly it's pulled away, you know something's missing. And this is what Satan does to us. He gives us sometimes, he gives us joy, he'll give us happiness. He'll give us, and he'll keep giving, and keep giving, and keep giving. Not because he wants you to have it, but because he wants to keep you in his control. And once he turns on you, and once you are well and truly in his grip, in an instant, it's all pulled away. And you have nothing. He has isolated you from God. Yes, he's made you busy, and you've become very successful, and you've become very happy. Happy in a worldly kind of way. That's it. Then what? It's time to come home. It's time to stop living amongst the swine and working under the care of the civilian citizen. It's time to come home. It's time to come home to the robe that covers up our iniquity. It's time to come home to the ring of authority and ownership. Time to come home to the sandals of protection. Time to come home to the celebration and the feast. Time to come home and hear the kingdom, hear heaven rejoicing. Time to come home and hear an overjoyed Father. A Father who loves us. A Father who knows that we don't belong in the world. A Father who knows that we belong only with Him. A Father who knows that we are His. Who wants to give us all things. Who has given us many things then. Who continues to give us many things now. And who wants to give us much, much more. Time to come home to that loving Father who hath joy in his eyes, who hath jubilation, ordering the killing of the fattened calf, wanting to rejoice because his child who was lost is now found. His child who was dead is now alive. And his child who was lost in the world with its busyness, with its uncertainty, with its stress, with its wrong feelings of guilt, with its servitude to Satan, all his powers, his son who was subject to all of that, who was lost in all of that, who was overwhelmed by all of that, his son who was a stranger in a foreign land, hit by devastation and by famine, his son who was hungry, not living in his regal place, but living among swine, his son who was lost and who was living in the world that was foreign to him, had once again returned to that mansion, to that palace, to that home, to that kingdom that he had prepared for him since the beginning. And glory be to God forever.